Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Ashley Byrne. Today I'm taking you back to one of the darkest periods in Canada's recent history, the October crisis of 1970.
In a 20-minute pre-recorded television and radio appearance at 3:15 a.m. British time, Pierre Trudeau said he was addressing the nation at a moment of grave crisis.
On October the 16th, 1970, Canada's then Prime Minister, Pierre Trudeau, took to the airwaves to announce he was taking the unprecedented step of suspending basic civil rights after a radical group turned violent in their campaign for the independence of the French-speaking province of Quebec.
The criminal law, as it stands, is simply not adequate to deal with systematic terrorism. The police have therefore been given certain extraordinary powers necessary for the effective detection and elimination of conspiratorial organizations which advocate the use of violence.
Overnight, a country known for its liberal values and freedoms was allowing police searches and arrests without warrants, prolonged detention without charge, and without the right to see a lawyer.
These are strong powers, and I find them as distasteful as I am sure you do. They are necessary, however, to permit the police to deal with persons who advocate or promote the violent overthrow of our democratic system.
Within hours, more than 400 people, including writers, artists and actors, had been arrested. Anyone suspected of having a link to radical elements of Quebec separatism was detained. American Vince Carlin was a young journalist at the time, covering the crisis for US Time magazine.
There were people that I knew very well who were ordinary citizens, artists, and poets. Some of them were nationalists, some of them weren't, and they were just sweeping them up because their names were on some list and put them in jail because under the War Measures Act, they could do that.
The streets of Quebec and soon Ottawa too suddenly resembled a war zone, and Vince Carlin remembers being shocked by what he encountered.
On the streets of Montreal were armored personnel carriers and people in full combat gear with rifles. It was stunning.
Quebec separatists, known as the FLQ, had been running a campaign of violence for some time.
In Montreal, there was the occasional, very occasional bomb blowing up a post box because they had the symbol of the Queen on them.
But the FLQ had changed tactics in early October 1970. Four of them, posing as delivery men, had kidnapped British Trade Commissioner James Cross from his residence in Montreal. At first, both the Quebec and federal government downplayed the seriousness of the kidnapping. But 5 days later, the separatist group struck again, snatching Pierre Laporte, Quebec's Minister of Labour.
The kidnappers may have thought of kidnapping other people, but they actually came across Laporte, who lived near where they were hanging out. And they drove down the street, and Laporte happened to be playing ball on the lawn with his nephews. So they grabbed him.
And so the crisis intensified, with the kidnappers continually making demands in return for the release of James Cross and Pierre Laporte.
It's almost certain now that the kidnappers will concentrate on their demand for the release of 23 convicted prisoners, whom they regard as political prisoners, and that a period of haggling will develop.
For young reporter Vince Carlin, getting to the heart of the story had its risks.
I began to develop contacts in the Quebec nationalist community, not radicals. These were not Felkists, as they were called, people from the Front de Libération de Québec, the FLQ, but staunch Quebec nationalists. And I began talking to them. And that, of course, came to the attention of some federal operatives who came to me in the midst of a meeting and said, "We know who you are and you better stop talking to these people." I was sort of taken aback. I didn't expect it in Montreal.
On the 15th of October, 3,000 people attended a rally in Quebec City in support of the FLQ's separatist demands. The next day, Canada's federal government raised the stakes and Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau addressed the nation.
Canada remains one of the most wholesome and humane lands on this earth. If we stand firm, this current situation will soon pass. We will be able to say proudly, as we have for decades, that within Canada there is ample room for opposition and dissent, but none for intimidation and terror.
Trudeau's decision to suspend civil liberties was very controversial.
for a prime minister who was known for his support of small-L liberal policies, it was quite something. A lot of people, the uninitiated, I guess the average citizen, to them this meant how bad it was, that it must be really serious and widespread for a prime minister like Trudeau to implement such a drastic measure.
I've heard this day described as the most tense since the Second World War in Canada. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would. It leaves me shaking right now.
What do you think of the crisis?
Well, I really think the government couldn't do anything but what they did. I don't suppose it really matters right now whether what they did was right or not. It's happened, and I think the FLQ is in a little too deep now.
Just a day after Pierre Trudeau invoked the War Measures Act, an FLQ communique led police to a parked car near a military airport.
Mr. Laporte's body, reportedly shot once through the head, was found in the boot of a car parked at the St. Hubert Army and Air Base across the river from Montreal, a choice of scene interpreted here as a deliberate act of defiance by the murderers, as it's the main base from which troops have been moved into Montreal.
Politician Pierre Laporte had been murdered in the first assassination since the death of Irishman Thomas Darcy McGee during the formation of modern Canada 103 years earlier. Vince Carlin was there as the events unfolded.
And there they were with the trunk open, staring in and removing Laporte's body and then towing the car out with the trunk open. That was a rather major moment in time.
The death of Pierre Laporte would mark a turning point in the crisis. Sympathy for the FLQ dissipated, and a police raid in early November saw Laporte's kidnappers rounded up. They all received lengthy prison sentences. But to this day, the actual circumstances surrounding the death of Pierre Laporte and the role of the group's leader, Paul Rose, remains a mystery.
Paul Rose, who I think got the biggest sentence, always said, "We killed him." In fact, he wasn't there at the time, so it's not clear who actually killed him.
The other hostage, British Trade Commissioner James Cross, was released in a deal which allowed five of the kidnappers to leave Canada and go to Cuba. Meanwhile, those rounded up under the War Measures Act were released without charge, and Canada's traditional civil liberties were restored. But Vince Carlin says the so-called October Crisis of 1970, as it has become known, did change Canada. Within years of those events, Pierre Trudeau installed far-reaching legislation to guarantee civil liberties. Meanwhile, Quebec and its place in Canadian life and politics changed too.
When I arrived in 1970, downtown Montreal was an English-speaking city. They passed a language bill which prohibited English language signs. It was started actually by the Liberals to make French the language of the province, the official language. And that was the beginning. And in, 5 years, the city had visibly changed.
For Vince Carlin, the October crisis also changed his life too. He fell in love with the Canadian people and decided to become a Canadian citizen. He went on to become head of television news at Canadian broadcaster CBC.
I lived there. I knew some of the people involved. And, of course, all of my friends and neighbors and journalistic colleagues were involved. So I really felt very Canadian, and I felt I owed it to the country, which had been very good to me, to become a citizen. So that's what I did.
Former Time magazine correspondent Vince Carlin was speaking to me, Ashley Byrne, for this edition of Witness. It was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service. For details of the BBC's complete range of downloads and its terms of use, please go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.